your seats, cause it's about to go down. Nerds and Geeks, once again, it is on Saturday night, the Nerdo Roundtable. We are here. Yours truly, King Nerd of Isentuala Sharp in the building, joined by Dr. Liz from the Freeway. What it T.I. Hi, is.
Hi, everyone.
Gia, you back in Cali?
I am back in Cali.
Word up. See, Ryan Twitchmaster McBain.
What's going on, y'all?
Tom is talking Cunningham.
What is upper?
Life and everything that surrounds it. Anthony from Two Cubicles Down is doing other things. Mo Kelly will be joining us shortly. And we are going to start with a show that I can't even say it surprised me. I can't even say it surprised me because I had no idea what to expect, but The Last of Us did it for me. Hot damn. If that's not one of, no, it's not even one of, it is the best thing that has ever come from anything video game related, period. And I only say this because I've never played the game, but every single thing that I've seen come from a video game has been subpar and damn near whack. I kind of sort of thought the Jolie Tomb Raiders were okay, but nah, not really. They were okay. They were watchable, but they're like rated N for Netflix. The shit wasn't like really, really over the top. The joint that Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland did, I don't know the video game, but I thought that movie was one of the most implausible, ridiculous things I've ever seen. Yeah. Uncharted. I was like, wait, what? Nah, no. So look, I have not seen anything good from a video game. Not Doom. I wasn't really a big fan of the zombie ones. What was that one?
With Umbrella. The fucking. I mean, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil, whatever. Yeah. But this shit right here, it touched on every single theory I have about the zombie apocalypse, but damn, that shit was good. Beyond the zombie apocalypse and how it can actually happen, the beginning of this series, that news interview, I've been saying that on the Mo Kelly show for about like 8-9 years. This is how the zombie apocalypse is going to unfold. It's not gonna be, you know, The Walking Dead where you've got dead people and people coming up from out of the ground. No, it is going to be some type of infection that renders us zombie-like, and zombie-like in the sense that we are going to be infected by some type of virus that the only desire for it is to spread. Fungus. Shit, man. McBain, you actually play this game.
I sure do.
You've been telling us about this for a minute. Mm-hmm. For you, someone who knows this thing, what did it do for you?
It's basically like they took the video game and threw that shit on HBO. I loved it. It was just, even like the subtle changes they had weren't a big deal. I mean, stuff they added, I get it because, you know, this is a TV show. You're not playing a video game. I like the beginning of the show when they're explaining the fungus, the infection, all that shit. Because whenever you watch a show like this about zombies, they never really like show the beginning. They're like, you're like right in the middle of it. You slowly see shit going down. And I love that part. I laughed my ass off of that damn dog banging on the window like a person, talking about, yo, let me in. Motherfucker, let me in this house. I was like, boy, I had me laughing my ass off. I was tripping, and I know that our Black listeners will understand this, but if I'm taking a dog back to its owner and the dog is freaked out to go in the house, let me tell you something. I ain't going in the house.
Not in the house.
Nope. Nah, see, it ain't happening.
She was walking around so slowly and tentatively, and the thing I liked about this show, and again, because I haven't played the video game, I just knew it was a video game. I knew that when the sequel came, or part two, or whatever came out, there was a whole people rah-rahing about wokeness, and how come the protagonist is this, or whatever, and the thing that impressed me about it as a show was that I was looking at it like, this must be the slowest video game to play ever, because the pace of it was just like, when the grandma was flipping out when she first started twitching in the chair.
That's so great.
And it was just in the background, and then she kind of stopped, and I was like, okay, so see, this is, and yeah. The dog was just like,
The dog knew what's up.
And then, even the subtle things of the, in the middle of the episode, when they go from the past and they jump it forward to 2023 or 2024, whatever it is, and that little kid is just kind of stumbling, and the black soldier is like, so where'd you get this little scratch, honey? And then they put the thing, and they don't even say anything. It's just, it turns red. And so the audience knows. And she's like, it's okay, baby. We're just going to give you this inoculation. And then you see the corpse with the shoes. It was very Steven Spielberg, Schindler's List, with the girl in the red coat, where it's like, they had this lingering shot on the shoes. So when the little dead zombie chick or whatever is, you see it's those same shoes, and they're dumping the bodies, and Mandalorian, Wonder Woman star guy is just like, you know, no, I'll take the extra shift, you know, whatever. And then we get Anna Torv from Fringe. It just kept building and building. And you got Lady Mormont from Game of Thrones as the main little girl and everything. And I just really enjoy it. It didn't strike me, I think, to Tawala's point, like a video game translation. It was just like, here's this property and let's just do it.
Right.
And
right.
I'm really appreciating what has gone into it so far. And I presume I don't think you can start off this well and then immediately turn into trash.
I will say this. Don't be too attached to some of the characters, because people die in this.
When the little girl died, I was like, oh, see, wait a minute. I thought Lady Mormont was in charge. And then I was like, oh, I see why she's
my only like critique did. And maybe the actress that plays Ellie will grow on me, but I'm still feeling that the actress who played Sarah, Joel's daughter, and the actress who plays Ellie should have switched roles. That's just my personal opinion. Now opinion might change on me. She might grow on me because she has the attitude of Ellie. I played the game several times. That is Ellie. The attitude's there. It's just, I don't know, something about her.
When the daughter died, I was shook on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so damn. I didn't even know what to do. I was like, wait, what? Nah. You ain't built up this daughter to catch one, and it isn't even
that's
from
straight out
the
video
zombie.
Game, by the way. That is straight out the video game. Even
really?
That's exactly how it happens in the video game. Even when they're driving, after Joel kills the grandmother, and they're driving away in the car, they're all together.
Oh, and they
Joel,
ran
Tommy. Yeah, Joel, Tommy, and and Sarah, and they're like, "You're gonna stop for them?" And Joel goes, "No, somebody else will pick him up." That's in the game. I was like,
"Wow,
yo, man!" I was like Leonardo DiCaprio, going like, "Dude, that's in the game."
From Candyland, I'll say this: any person who gets caught up in a zombie apocalypse in the real world and does things like listening to Pedro say, go back in the house now. And then you see him run over somebody and you go to help that person right before they bite you and turn you into a zombie. You deserve that.
Yeah.
All of us have seen way too many zombie things. If I'm hearing helicopters and seeing explosions and stuff and people getting run over, I'm not helping anyone. Get me into a car. I'm going to have a four-wheeler truck. I'm going to drive over the boop-de-boop-de-boop-de-boop. I'm getting out of Dodge. F all of the rest of it. I am going. And we go figure out something. I'm going to get up to Alaska because I watched World War Z, and Alaska's where you're supposed
That's
to
where you go.
Them zombie legs. There's no circulation. The bones get brittle.
Yep.
It saves your ass.
You go where it's cold. Or you get on a boat. You get on a boat because zombies can't swim. If you can hijack a yacht or something and use that bitch to travel the coastline and have a good squad with you to kill anything that comes near the dock,
Domingo.
You know, boom, you're straight. All these things to me are straight documentaries on what we need to be doing when it goes down. Because lo and behold, there is a story that we covered maybe 3-4 months ago about what they were calling zombie bees in California. With the zombie, this is a bee that had a fungus that had attached itself to the bee and was causing the bees to become carnivorous of other bees, and they were going around destroying hives. I theorized, I said, okay, you've got this bee that has this fungus, and it's still pollinating fruits and vegetables and other things, right? Say if it's pollinating wheat, flowers, or anything else, and it's going into cows, and then now some cows are getting this fungus, and then we're eating burgers like there ain't no damn tomorrow, and guess what happens to us? Fungus in our brain, and again, it's just the design. I love how they did these zombies, because they weren't the walking dead zombies of like, I want to eat your brains. This is a fungus that has taken over the host and is looking to spread. I said to myself, this is one of the most sound theories or philosophies on how a zombie, you know, outbreak would happen. That's why I'm like, yo, is this the game? Is this what I'm like, I've been missing out on this game.
Oh,
well, and we have a question. James Wright says, how many episodes? According to the Pedia of Wiki, there are going to be 9 episodes of this series. And I think
y'all shouldn't get attached because it is HBO. Y'all should never get attached because it is HBO. And who's to know if this
season is going to be a season 2? Well, I would say HBO may not have another season of it. They've already shot this. To your point, Liz, they are cutting everything.
Another season.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a second season. My other concern, which is bigger than the first, is that I hope they don't Game of Thrones this. Meaning, once they surpass the source material,
right,
the show goes to shit. I hope that does not happen.
Oh. How many games are there?
2.
There's only 2. But I think one of the things that I think is really cool about this so far is that for a person like me and Tawala who haven't played the game, the universe is good. I'm good with the universe. And, you know, spoiler alert on the game or whatever. I don't know who ends up dying by the time the second game is done. But if Pedro and his and the substitute daughter and Anatole, all of the main characters that we see right now, if they're all dead by the time the second season of the show is done, the mythology of the universe is still solid to me. It's different from Game of Thrones, where we didn't really know how the story was designed to end, and then they started taking these incredibly horrible liberties with the story, and so they destroyed it by the end. Listen, Walking Dead went so many seasons beyond
the comic many books, seasons.
Yep.
And then they had 2 spinoffs because the universe was cool. And you didn't need to tell the stories of the comic book, because once you've established the universe, it was good. That's why Fear the Walking Dead was able to go even longer than the original run of what the show should have been when the comics stopped. So I think this is a different thing. Because you don't have Tolkien-length books that people are slavishly devoted to. You've got a video game. You more or less, you know, play the video game, so your investment is different. And once the video game is done, you know a video game is supposed to end. And if you wanted to play or watch someone play more, like my kids watch Corey Kenshin on, on YouTube or whatever, you can still enjoy this show without touching the video game at all. Not wholly dissimilar from the way people enjoyed Game of Thrones without reading the books. I saw the series first, and then I've read the books, and then I read all of the books before, like, the second season started. And I was like, okay, come on. Get there.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that about this show because I don't know where we're going. I just know that I like where we're going. And I think World War Z, Twala, to your point, had a very similar premise of, even though it wasn't a fungus, they also weren't dead people coming back to life. It was infection, and the infection had rules. The infection wanted to spread, but the infection didn't want to spread to people who were sick, because sick people wouldn't be able to propagate the infection as effectively as non-sick people. And so that's ultimately how they were able to defeat the World War Z virus, because Brad Pitt injected himself with like 74 toxic diseases to find the right one that the zombie disease didn't want to do. So I'm super duper happy.
I hope that every episode is at least this long. I'm just sure that it will be hard, but this was damn near a movie length. I'm like, they gave us a lot in this first episode.
I don't think all of them are going to be that long. I think it's that this was designed. Cause I don't know if it was you, Twit, Ryan, that said you wish the first episode was a double episode. I think that's what this is. It looks like episode two has a runtime of 60 minutes. So it's already significantly shorter than the first one.
I guess after giving us a good hour 20, you know, if they're going to break us off at least a solid hour, every one.
The first episode was only 60 minutes too.
No, that was longer than that.
I'm just telling you what the runtime is on that I'm looking at, but whatever. It's a good show. It's 100%. I think 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's because there's one contrarian who's like, I don't know. Exactly. I didn't like his mustache. You know, you're just like, dude, if you don't go somewhere with yourself.
The silver hairspray wasn't effective.
One of the major changes in this first episode was when the guy that screwed him over with the battery. In the game, it's not a battery, it's guns. And in the game, you go there and you kill that motherfucker. You fucking shoot him in the head.
he got killed off screen, which was a little unsatisfying to me.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan, you're the only game guy on here. Does Sister Girl, the revolutionary Firefly chick, is she done already because she got stabbed, or we going to see her some more?
Oh, you should see her again. But I'm going to spoil it for you. But like,
I just want to...
You've already said some things where I'm... Really good. You've already said some things where I'm like, man.
Okay. I'm guessing Anna Torv doesn't last.
I mean, I'm not saying nothing about nothing.
Okay? Look, thank you, man. Because seriously, I like the fact that this is not connected to anything that I know, and it's actually a really good show. And this was one of those things when HBO Max said, "Hey, Twyla, we're increasing your subscription by a whole $1.50 or something." I was like, "You had better come with some heat."
Really?
And they said, "Boom, here's your heat. Here's a reason to tune in every week."
They give you one reason to tune in, and they take it back with Velma.
Hey, I buy that for $1.
And you know what, Liz? For Velma, I had high hopes because I really liked everything going into Velma.
Did you?
I thought Velma was going to be a good show. And it started off on such a weird note with all these naked girls in the locker room. And I'm like, wait, where are we going? And then the humor started coming out. And I'm like, this is not good. For what it is that I thought it was a serious look at Velma. I didn't know it was just going to be nonstop. We're going for low hanging fruit humor, locker room humor, a lot of teenage jokes, a lot of just stuff. I'm just like, man.
And I was just like, okay, children, you need to leave the room. This is not you can't watch this show. But and they're like, it's Scooby Doo.
No, it isn't. It's Scooby-Doo. Before we dance off of Last of Us, I just want to take a few comments about CBM Reviews, who's been dropping some spoilers. This is someone that Ryan was corresponding with. So Marlene, who is the actor or the character I was talking about, is voiced by the actress who voiced Marlene in the video game. And I watched a feature about and how cool it was that she was able to actually play the role. She's very, very well cast.
Yeah.
And
she knows the role. That's for damn sure.
I don't know if the little Afro sister who lost her ear is about to buy it, but when Marlene says, "Girl, you don't have an ear," I said, okay. Wowzers, that was pretty amazing. So
it was low blow.
Bounce back to
there's not a lot to bounce back to with Velma. It's again, I wanted to support it because only really truly I was inspired to watch it because of all the hate that that the series received by race swapping Velma, by making her not a nerdy little white girl, made her Asian. She's Asian. So like, it's one of those things where you go, okay,
it's Mindy Kaling.
And so she made these changes. They were significant. And of course, before anyone ever saw anything, they were like, how dare you? Velma is a little white girl. And I said, wait, she's a cartoon character. That's one. She's not real. She's not based on this. She's not a historical figure. So stop it. And then I said, well, let me watch it because I liked what Mindy Kaling had to say. And I was like, you know, okay, cool. You know what? I'm going to support this, man. I like your vibe. And then I watched it and I said, I can't support this anymore.
Okay, so I don't know if the rest of you even dared to check out the Rotten Tomatoes, but the tomato meter is at 50%, which is kind of surprising because the audience score is 6%.
It is a hard watch.
It is. And it's tough because it's the humor that they're putting in it. It's not funny. I mean, it's one of those like you go, I see how maybe when you guys were like backstage or you're in the writing room or wherever you were when you were coming up with these jokes, they seemed funny in your head. And then when you did it, the execution is like, it's actually not funny. All right, it's like she thinks she's Seth who's the Family Guy who does that's is that Seth,
Seth McFarlane.
McFarlane. Seth McFarlane. Yeah, it's Here's almost like Hold they on. They think
into the conversation.
Where's Mo Kelly's at?
Right here.
Mo Kelly is in the building. To bring you up to speed, Mo, right now we are discussing Velma, the trash ass show that it is.
I think they were high.
Oh, they were definitely high, Liz. Real quick, though, before we finish bashing Velma, I wanted to get your thoughts, Mo, so everyone can hear your two cents on The Last of Us. We have all laid into it and given it its high praises that it deserves. Are you that one contrarian that gave it a 99%? Are you with us?
Look, there's nothing I can add that is opposite what has already been said. Likely I didn't hear it, but it's fantastic. I was unencumbered by the video game. I just watched it for what it was, and it was an hour and 20 minute first episode, which could have very well been a movie if they would have just extended it a little bit and maybe changed a little bit of the storytelling. I was very pleased with it. It doesn't mean I'll be pleased with it three or four episodes from now. I don't know if they can keep up that same pacing, but it is a fantastic first start. And I would not have been mad if I saw that first episode as a movie in a classical theater.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. Don't watch Velma if you haven't.
Okay. I did not plan to at all.
And it seems like there's some people in the audience who says that it gets worse.
Oh, damn.
Oh, really?
Worse. Okay.
Sure. Oh, worse.
Wait, Velma gets worse?
How do you go down? It's like Velma saying that it gets worse is like saying I stepped in shit. And then while I was trying to like get it off my shoe, I slipped and then fell in
shit.
Yeah. that's what you're basically saying.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Damn.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you make a spinoff of Scooby-Doo and not introduce Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. And you introduce the other characters in the lamest of ways.
They sure did.
Everyone is it's almost like they overdid the jokes. They overdid the jokes about like Shaggy he's not a stoner. He's this brother who's like every time he's in a scene, it's like, that's so interesting. I mean, I wonder what I would think about that if I was high. Almost like they're trying to make it self-aware of it's bad, man. It's tough, you know. It's really, really tough to watch. Fred is a super aloof rich guy with a small cock, and that's the way they play out the whole episode.
Damn,
that's the whole first
Jesus
episode.
Ball of shit, man.
But that's the first episode.
That's where I had to excuse the kids when they started going towards the crouch, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So sure it wasn't a rooster.
Because at first the kids were like, because the first curse word, I was like, oh, so this is not going to be, this is not kid friendly. And then the second one came, I was like, oh, this is really not kid friendly. And then when they started talking about how small that he is, I was like, oh, we got to go.
That's the
why is that necessary?
It's not, Mo. It's really, it's not even necessary to tell. It's like they wanted to take some type of joke about Fred and take it to the extreme of like something that he was hiding, like why he was this fake. It's bad, man. It's really, really tough to understand why they had to take these jokes as far as they did. Why you had to have all of this sexuality between Velma and Daphne, and just, you know, there's just so much. There's so much wrong with it. So much wrong. So I don't know. I thought it was going to be a fun, funny take on Scooby-Doo, and it's a humorless, crude, filthy McFilth show. It's filthy McFilth.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't mind crudeness, but you have to be funny, and it sounds like it's not funny.
Now, yeah, if it was funny, if it was Family Guy funny, if it was, you know, even Simpsons smart funny, it would be worth watching.
It was like Sausage Fest. I would probably like it, but this doesn't seem like it's that type of humor.
Sausage Fest was funny.
It was funny, yeah.
So imagine Sausage Fest without the
joke. It was.
Yes. Very.
Yes.
Very.
Dude, it's a movie called Sausage Fest. What do you think you're going to get? It's called Sausage Fest.
I understand. Wasn't it Sausage Party? You're talking about the Seth Rogen
party.
Yeah.
Sausage Party. Whatever.
Sausage Fest.
Sausage Party.
Sausage Fiesta.
Sausages. It was, the show was funny, man.
I thought it was funny.
I mean, I think this is going, I think Mo talked about it. Koala. Y'all both talked about these remakes and how we're on the verge of all these really bad remakes. And I feel like this is another trying to, you know, lack of innovation that has just gone wrong. We talked about it that on the last show where some of us were looking forward to Night Court, see what it was like. That was horrible.
Yep.
And it's to the point that it's like, I'm going to just need you to stop. We don't need to keep remaking old stuff.
Like, how many good remakes have there been?
Not many.
Oh. Not many. Not a lot.
You mean of early 90s TV shows?
Early 90s TV and film.
Not so many. Well, House Party famously is back and already streaming. It's not exactly a good sign.
Yeah. Look, I know some folks who saw the House Party and they said it lacks every single bit of all the charm and the nostalgia and the fun of the original. And it's become this modern, you know how when you take something and it's like all the things that were funny back in the day were funny because they made sense. But like there's things that are happening right now that's like, but no, because you could have just called. Like back in the day, like there was no cell phones when the first House Party came out, you know? So there's things that made sense where they don't make sense now.
I haven't seen it yet and I am going to watch it, but I already came, I already had the mindset that my kids don't have any, I mean, I know it's radar, but I'm just saying like the generation of the 18-year-olds or whatever, they probably have never watched House Party 1, 2, or 3. So they have no, you know, kinship to it. So it's probably going to, it seems like, you know, for me, or all of us walking in, we know that they had our popular hip hop artist at the time that was there. So you have like this, you know, you do have a kinship towards it, and house parties were much more of a thing then than they are now. Right. So me, a lot of this. So I think that I'm walking in like, okay, this is going to be so different from the last one, because a last one redoing it like the last one would make no sense. To have a house party at your friend's house with different people, like that would make no sense to me.
But it makes zero sense with this one, only on the premise. I haven't seen it, you know, so I'm not saying that this is a fact, but when you have a movie where the premise of it is instead of having a house party because you want to be cool, and house parties are the thing because everyone was trying to have the dopest house party. Right. Coming up, going to the dope house party, the stories that you had on Monday were legendary, right? That's where you had all these local, all a lot of the local radio DJs that we know that blew up. They came from rocking a house party, right? You know, and into doing, you know, step shows and then into doing bigger things and so forth and so on. But when you take that film and you have it today set where you have two guys who, for whatever reason, are going to try to throw a mansion party at LeBron James' house while he's out of town, right then and there you go, stop it. Don't stop, call right it house right. party. Call it something
else. You shouldn't call it house party, but it makes sense for this generation, though. For this generation of people, it would make a lot more sense because they're clout chasing. So that's why I can only reason it in my head. You wouldn't have a house party at such and such's house, random dude on the corner's house. You're trying to get into the hottest celebrity's house. But I'm just saying that's what I'm reading. Yeah.
You're gonna have a party at LeBron's house and nobody know.
Right.
I didn't say it makes sense. I'm
saying we're literally in the world of social media.
As soon as the first person got into that crib, yo, I'm at LeBron James' house. Look at this hologram. Yo, LeBron, I'm tagging LeBron. LeBron's across
the police are there.
Police are called. Yep. The white neighbor is like, oh, I'm here to see. There's not a chance. The whole premise is crazy. Now, if it had been LeBron's unfinished house and there is no hologram and there is no dope furniture and there is no installed security system and he's in the back corner of a gated community that's impossible to get or that's not yet built, if there's something like that,
it would have been LeBron James' son who did it.
No, that would have been ridiculous too.
LeBron still would have known.
Yeah,
I mean, and LeBron lives in a gated community. You can't get to LeBron's house.
Sure can.
Without getting past the roving security and everything. I mean, there's no way on earth you have a party at LeBron's house.
The only way this film would have worked and made any kind of sense if you would have had these two young men who wanted to throw a dope house party, say a throwback to a dope house party, if they would have done a whatchamacallit, if they would have rented a house through Airbnb. If they would have done an Airbnb and done a house party, I would have said, oh, okay. Two dudes saying like, you know what, man? Back in the day, they used to throw, my dad was telling me about dope house parties back in the day. I want to throw one. Let's get us an Airbnb. And have the dopest house party and try to bring it back. I would have been more like, oh, that's, and then you could have like, you know, fast forward and have like, you know, a kid or play come out and be one of their dads and be like, what are you doing? Like in the end, like a cameo where you'd have been like, now it all makes sense why they would have done a house party.
That would have made sense.
Do you really think LeBron doesn't have a Ring doorbell?
Anything. Come on, dude. You've got a hologram, but not a security system?
I'm gonna tell you why this makes sense to him, to LeBron. Because LeBron James produced the movie.
No, I get why LeBron wanted to do it.
He did it. The movie just doesn't make sense. Any person who's making a remake right now and hasn't gone to the University of Cobra Kai is tripping.
Say that.
Cobra Kai showed you how to do a throwback show.
Facts.
The actors, the vibe, you have a new generation of kids. It's just like somebody in the comments said that the 90s show is good because you've got Red, you've got the mom, you've got Topher, you've got the, and they are the framework so that you, it's fine that you have young kids playing. You've even got Wilmer Valderrama on there and you've got cameos with Mila and Ashton Kutcher. That's how you do a reboot. Not just throw everything away, get two nameless people that nobody knows, And they're supposed to be stars because I guess LeBron is EPing and there's a hologram. It just, none of it makes sense at all.
Yeah,
none of it. It just doesn't make sense.
Now, speaking of Cobra Kai, that Cobra Kai trailer, even like though it's just a bunch of, you know, clips from what happened, the fact that they are the setup of this being the final season and everything we know that's coming, I could not be more hyped to see this.
And, hey, Koala?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I got a question for you specifically.
Okay.
How do they, since they announced that this is the final season, what do they need to do, or what would you like them to do to tie up any loose ends and end the series? Because they basically, with the exception of Hilary Swank, they've just about covered every character from the previous movies.
There are a few things that I need to see. I need to see Daniel and Johnny settle their beef on the mat once and for all in a grand All Valley championship. I need to see, believe it or not, I would like to see some form of redemption for Kreese. I would like to see something happen because his life has been so effed up. When you get into his past and everything that formed this psychotic, you know, obsession with founding Cobra Kai and all that, I would like to see there to be some redemption there. And I would like to see a successful passing of the baton to this newer generation, because we know, as the producers have said, the legacy that has been established with Cobra Kai will live on beyond the series, hinting at them possibly doing a new film with this generation. You know, Will Smith isn't going to just be like, all right, cool, I'm out, thanks for everyone coming through. He produced this knowing full and hell well that this had legs. And I'm really hoping that they do something with this new generation, you know, be it Miguel, be it Robbie, and they take it to another level and make us, give us a reason to go to theaters and see another Karate Kid film.
I ain't got nothing. That's a great
answer. You think it will go to a movie? You think it will be a movie?
I don't know that, yeah. I think any of the young actors, I think one of the, if you want to call it a weakness, I think all of the old actors and the characters from the original movie series hold up extraordinarily well. Mm-hmm. I do not find that the younger actors are as charismatic enough to carry a new franchise.
I agree.
I think the daughter is extraordinarily bad. I think they're trying to make Miguel into this charismatic person, and I just don't see it. I think the best of the new cast is Johnny's son, the torture.
Robbie, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best of the new cast, because Hawk is a joke. You know, the,
yeah.
Eli.
Daughter, yeah. Danny's yeah. daughter mm-hmm. is horrible. Even the her little antagonist, the other the bad
painless
girl,
care. Yeah, painless. Yep.
Yeah, she's you know, not as bad. You know, it's no surprise that in the Cobra Kai series, the better characters, the more interesting actors, are the ones who are on the bad side. But I just don't see that there's going to be as much of a desire to see this story brought back to the big screen, just because we will have had six seasons on Netflix. And what do you do? The charm of this show
is that it's
retro and nostalgic. Mm-hmm.
I got an answer. And they actually introduced the segue to the big screen in the final episodes of season 5. With season 5, one of the things that they wanted to do is they wanted to take Cobra Kai International and make Cobra Kai establish their reputation by entering into this national tournament, this international tournament. The way that you take it back to the big screen is, again, it's going to take work for this season to build up the younger character, even the young black kid in Cobra Kai. That dude's got some fire, too.
A little skinny dude, yeah.
I'm thinking if they do this right and they do something wherein they can establish a reputation for whichever dojo comes out on top, whether it be Cobra Kai or Miyagi-Do, or if in the end, after Daniel and Johnny fight, they merge the two and they enter into this international competition, then that's where the film goes. That you would have to take one of the principals, whoever comes out on top, which will probably be Johnny, because Daniel love Ralph Macchio to death, but he came back out of acting to do this. I mean, out of retirement to do this. It's not long term for him, I don't believe. I think if you end this with Johnny getting that just you know, kind of comeuppance to say, like, dude, this is what I should have got years ago in the first film, and it ends with going to an international competition, then Will Smith could successfully, and I know it's probably not likely, but Will Smith, if they go international and they go to this tournament in Asia, where we last saw Will Smith's son's character in Asia fighting in for his Kung Fu Do, and you take it there, Will Smith would successfully be able to do a film where he could bring Jaden's gym and all that, and it would be a whole thing. I'm just saying, that is a theory.
Well, I think you're right, if only because Cobra Kai from the very beginning was Johnny Lawrence's story. From the very first scene of the very first trailer, where he's on the floor with the beers on the floor, he was telling his side of the Karate Kid mythology.
Right.
And it's like, no, you only heard Daniel's side. Right. But I'm saying, I'm saying Daniel was a dick, and that's what Johnny was saying. The whole point of the series is Daniel is the dick. So the only way that this can resolve is if Johnny, because we know of his issues with his father, his stepfather, all those things, those have to be tied up on some level in this season. But I think, to your point, Tawala, Johnny has to have the redemption arc this season to bring it all to a close. Because they started with him, they have to end with him.
Yes.
I also would like to see him get married. I would like to see him get married.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
That's definitely part of it. That's definitely part of it. And if you end it with Johnny and homegirl get married, that is beautiful. The two people that would likely be the best to carry a film as far as introducing a new generation is Sholo and the young man who plays Robbie. Sholo is a great actor. He's a great dude.
He's Blue Beetle too, so he's going to carry some star power.
Right. So you have that, and then if you have those two as the leads going into a tournament in Asia, those are the only two who would likely be believable on screen to be able to, you know, carry a film. They're the only two who have that type of energy. And if it's Johnny who comes out on top in the end, him marrying homegirl, that gives you both of those kids to be in a film that goes that direction.
That makes sense. I would wonder if Jaden is acting, because he acts a little bit.
Look, he's still rap. He's still in entertainment. And again, if his dad is saying, "Hey, son, I need you to come and do this,"
he had a movie a couple years ago.
He's not going to turn down a free paycheck.
No.
No. He ain't got, I mean, whether or not he is capable of still being an actor, because he's very Yay adjacent, I'll just say.
He did a movie like, what, 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago? It was a love story. But it wasn't terrible.
Look,
he's not a leading man.
It's not terrible that you can't remember the name of it. You can't remember the co-star.
Look, I bet you if it was on Apple TV, you know what it was.
I would say this about him, though.
He was the star of the show.
His music, this dude's music career, for where these kids are nowadays, where music is all the world of downloads, this dude is a star. When this dude came out even on stage a couple years ago at Coachella, he blew that shit up. And I was like, wait, y'all got Jaden on Coachella? He came out there and that crowd lost their mind. He's got a different type of star power. These kids nowadays in the world of social media, they are famous on a level that none of us really know. It's like we didn't grow up with that. We didn't grow up with their level of what's important. You know, for us, it's like, wait, nah. But will he get young people into a theater, a new generation? Yeah, he will. Though, you know, everyone on this panel, we might be done after season six. We don't need to see a new generation of films. This final season will be, to fully answer your question, Mo, will be that season that needs to pass the baton to my son, to, you know, to Tom's kids, you know, Liz, your kids are a little young. I don't know if they're into it like that, but this new generation is going to have to want to go and see the film in theaters without it being attached to the older Karate Kid.
I mean, outside of Cobra Kai and Creed, honestly, there hasn't been that much of a successful of passing and reboots that has been very, very successful. Everything else has been kind of, and especially since we're in this age of redoing everything, I actually like the redo of Murphy Brown, but I knew I wasn't going to die. All of it's kind of sucked. And so it's kind of, can we come up with some new things, some new ideas? Okay, we're not going to go back to Willow. They're bringing that up.
Jesus Christ.
We're not doing that.
No.
But it's just really, really sad, you know, like to see how they keep coming up with these new ideas, these old ideas that aren't good.
You know, we've seen, even in the TV space, Queen Latifah's Equalizer, which is the third bite at that apple. There's going to be another Denzel film. Second season. I will say this. Where I think Will is getting plenty of much due credit is in the Bel Air show.
Oh, yeah.
Which just got its second season authorized. I thought that was a very smart way to do it by taking it in a different direction. And he doesn't get credit for creating the idea because the people who created the fake trailer are the ones who said, let's just do this and turn it on its ear and make it a real drama as opposed to making it another sitcom. And that was a clever way to do it. The same way that Wednesday took the goofy Addams Family premise and turned it into Veronica Mars set at Hogwarts. And, you know, some people are doing clever twists on how to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority of people who say, oh, let's just see if we can catch lightning in a bottle again, it's not going to work. You have to have something that brings it and makes it accessible to this generation. Like I say, my kids will watch people playing video games on YouTube.
Right.
They don't need a plot. They are entertained by the personality. And so, you know, when it's so easy to pandemic
Ryan?
Kind of yes. put us into this space, you've got Netflix that put in Amazon Prime shows and Peacock shows and Paramount Plus shows that put us in the space of, I can get high quality entertainment on my TV. I don't have to, or on my phone or on my tablet. You don't have to have a big movie to entertain this generation. You just don't. They're super happy to consume content wherever they can get it, where they're comfortable getting it. And so the paradigm is definitely changing. And so I can understand why people are willing to say, can we make Wednesday stick? Wednesday stuck. Can you make Night Court stick? Nah. Can you make Velma stick? Nah. You know, My Hero Academia is what kids wanted. They have their own things that they want to see now. You know, you don't.
They're not checking out Magnum PI, even though for some reason they're saying that's coming back. I'm like, is
it? It is coming back. I think this is the second season. Isn't this the second? I think it's the second season.
Get remade.
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0, Magnum PI. I think that's because CBS
network.
Well, yeah.
Magnum PI is now on NBC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
It went from CBS.
That was CBS in the beginning, what?
Yeah, but it's on NBC. Because NBC has the new Night Court, Magnum PI, Frasier. I'm forgetting.
Oh, and
one.
Quantum Leap.
And Quantum
they
Leap.
Have Quantum Leap. Yeah. Yes.
Another one that needs to leap right back into somebody's writer's room.
They're trading on the names. That's it. Nothing more.
But that's and Frasier, who arguably Frasier, has done pretty well by playing on a name, is the reboot of Dynasty, which I think is in its fifth or sixth season at this point. But it's not quite fair because Dynasty is just a soap opera. And so,
yeah, you know, but Dallas was pretty good.
They dropped that because Dynasty is easier. You know, the people who like watching television don't want to see the glamorization of Texas. I mean, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
So you get Dynasty, you've got a mixed race cast, you've got, you know, a whole lot of stuff going on, and it's a soapy evening soap in a space that doesn't really have soapy evening soaps. And so now it's a rare bird. But if you can come up with something fresh and new, or you can come up with an exciting take on something that's broadly familiar, then you're able to get Cobra Kai, you're able to get Bel Air, you're able to get things that have worked. If you're just trying to do House Party and does it care if it makes sense, then no, it's not going to make sense. When they made the third House Party and built it around B2K or whoever that was,
oh yeah,
that made sense because they were the hot little guys.
Yeah.
It's like if there was a new
and edition, it was still in House Party adjacent era.
It was still a House Party, right. If New Edition had been, well, if any of those kids had been able to act, then, you know, yes, you would have done it for, you would have done New Edition in that thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can't just say, here's two random black people that nobody knows. Let's throw them in LeBron's house and see if it works. It's like,
people are afraid to take chances.
People do know
just
them.
Just want to reboot
things. It's just that they're not that popular.
No, Liz, look, they may know
I
Jacob
know them
Lattimore.
From, yeah, I know Jacob the, Lattimore.
Yes. You don't know the other dude. You don't.
I don't know the other
who's
dude.
Jacob, yeah. Who's Jacob Lattimore?
He's
Jacob
one Lattimore of the guys from House Party. But he's also an R&B singer.
So and he's also in the Shy.
Yeah.
He's also in the
Jacob Lattimore.
He's got
some legs.
In the Shy. So yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. I haven't seen him in too many movies. So I was like, oh, he's you know, I'm happy that he had a leading role. And so I was like, oh, this is so cool. But no.
But no.
Yeah, but no, I mean, look, when House Party came out, House Party, I believe its debut weekend, I believe it maxed out at 5 million in the box office.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, though. I didn't like House Party. House Party 2 was tolerable. I hated House Party 3. House Party 1 was.
Yeah, but it had jumped the shark by then. That they went back to the well one too many times.
Because I'm a TLC fan, so I am there.
You made me laugh my ass off. I will say that. There are some parts.
Here's an announcement. I am rebooting House Party as Condo Soiree, coming to theaters next year.
Condo Soiree.
we have James Wright who asks, has anyone seen the menu? I have seen the menu.
I have not.
I don't know what the menu.
That's the cannibal movie.
It's not a cannibal movie.
Mm. Oh, well, then there's no point then.
Movie. It is not. It is a better Triangle of Sadness is what it is. Because Triangle of Sadness was just, it was very European. I can understand why Triangle of Sadness probably worked in European markets. It is a very bleak, with the longest mid-movie vomit slash diarrhea scene I think that has ever been captured on camera.
More than Bridesmaids?
Wait.
Yes.
Wait. More than Team America?
Well, yes, because this is actual people with liquid feces rolling around a yacht.
That's
so
disgusting.
It's a very long sequence.
I'm good. I'm good. James, don't you ever bring up another question again. I don't need diarrhea in the show.
I think the menu was mismarketed, James. It's a dark movie.
Apparently.
Ralph Fiennes is the, I guess he's the protagonist. He's the pragtagonist, I guess you might say. He's this chef who has found himself completely consumed by ennui because he's sick of the game. He charges $1,200 a meal, only 12 diners, and he invites this group to this restaurant, the Hawthorne, which has a very cool logo, for this meal. And they don't realize that when they get there, he has set it for this to be the last meal that they ever eat.
Yeah, he's going to kill them, right?
They are to be killed, not to be eaten.
Oh, okay.
They are just going to be killed. And he sets up this narrative, and he has all these things, and there's this surprise moment where you don't really know that it's coming until he invites his sous chef up and he says, he's very, very good, but he will never be great. And so tonight, he is going to end his life. Pow! And it's like, wait, what just happened? And so it goes very, very dark places.
Sounds very weird.
It does have some very fun stuff. It's worth a watch at home.
Wait, Tom.
I wouldn't go to the theater.
It's fun stuff. Look, you know what? Actually, no one's really going to the theater. All right?
Because Regal
is closing everything. Regal's like, you know, grand closing. We are shutting house some 39 more theaters on top of what they've already closed or closed this week, which begs the question, even if they do a Karate Kid movie based on this series, Netflix already has a platform. You don't have to put that shit in theaters at all. They can just make it for Netflix and people will watch it because, damn it, you know what? It's something new on Netflix. I don't know, outside of superhero films, is there another reason to go to the theaters? You know, unless it's an over-the-top action film, will theaters be able to survive based on art house money? If House Party even only brought in $5 million, not $500 million, I said five of them.
And that's also nothing. Only in 1,400 theaters.
Right.
You know what the salvation is going to be of, I think, the big cinema chains, a Gina Carano Film Fest. I think
okay.
I know that if they depend on that horrible movie, The Plane, then it's in trouble.
Plane is not horrible at all.
Okay, first
it
of all,
it is Netflix worthy. It is not me.
Okay. There will be no Mike Coulter slander. There will be no Michael Coulter slander on this podcast. None. I ain't having it.
Plane is a completely serviceable, standard action film.
Netflix.
In this market, did it need to be released in movie theaters? With Gerard Butler and Mike Coulter as a headline. Really, Gerard Butler. Michael Coulter is very capable. He plays a good, solid, ruthless action star. The stunts are not crazy, ridiculous. You had a very charismatic, if
Tom, you know, make it simple.
Off the boxes.
Tom, this sounds like you're saying this should have come out on it. Streaming.
Tom, okay. I'm taking the executive decision. Snakes on a Plane.
Number one this week.
Okay, Snakes on a Plane, executive decision, Red Eye, Turbulence. Is it better than any of those?
Oh, it's better than Snakes on a Plane.
I think so. Because one of the things about each of those movies most of the movies that you set is that almost all of the movie takes place on the plane, and so it's claustrophobic. There's only so much you could realistically expect to get away with in, you know, a big, narrow steel tube.
Yeah, but Passenger 57 was the shit.
Well,
okay, it's not better than Passenger. It's not better than Con Air.
Oh, that's... I don't know about that. It's not the same. It's not the same sort of Michael Bay-ish, Con Air sort of thing. It's not like The Rock. It's a more realistic take. And basically, the plane goes down in this somewhat uncharted or uncontrollable island. And so then it's Gerard Butler and Michael Coulter working together to get the people back. And it was a very unoccupied plane, so you don't have 75 characters you care about. There were 14 fucking people on the plane. And then the stewardesses, and that's it.
Flight attendants.
Flight attendants. You're only caring about a very small group, and because you're only caring about a small group, and the action is focused on Mike and Gerard, it's tidy. It works to me. It did not need a big theatrical release.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, but I think this would have been successful on Amazon.
It's not a bad movie.
I think it's a better movie if I watched it at home. Because I didn't pay for it.
That's fair.
Because I didn't pay for it, and I'm a Stubbs member, I would right. not be upset. I am not upset.
Right.
But is exactly. it something, it is not a, something that would get me out and pay my money for. I would be disappointed if I paid money this. For this.
You raised a point, Twala, about can movies survive? Can theaters survive? Right now, it costs, what, $19.99 for HBO Max if you pay monthly or something like that?
$15.99.
Yeah.
$15.99.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the one with commercials, or is that the
no.
one without commercials?
No, that's without. Free.
Okay. So if movie theaters, because now what the movie theaters are doing, they're replaying old movies. They're doing these, mm-hmm. you know, you can see operas or ballets and, mm-hmm. you know, those
boxing matches, football games, like everything. Yep. Hmm.
I am perfectly happy to pay $24.95 to be able to go to a movie whenever I want and see it on a big, beautiful screen. I don't have a problem with that. I'm already paying for other streaming services. It's not a big deal to me. If they showed, if the movie studios would re-release big event films, because it's all digital now. You should be able to distribute whatever you want. You don't have to worry about shipping films and shipping reels and all that physical stuff. You gave me Raiders. If you gave me a summer schedule that included some of the favorite movies of my youth, digitally remastered, looking gorgeous, I'd have no problem staying in theaters.
But see, Tom, the problem is that they already do that. There's already within
some of them, but
Some of them, and it's not enough. The theaters who do the anniversary, there's a whole anniversary
right.
series.
That's right.
Not Artisan Pictures, but it's whatever the company is that leases that space within Regal Cinema at the time. A lot of them were Regal. AMC does a few because that's where I went and saw the Back to the Future anniversary. You know, they showed right. it then on the date that it was supposed to be happening. You know, they've done Raiders, they've done Ghostbusters, they do the classics, they
even
do
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, they right. So they well. Do that. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that's not enough to keep the lights on for over the course of a year. There's not enough return on going to see it. Now, I just joined A Plus again because there's a lot coming out this year that I want to actually see on the big screen. But it's obviously not enough to keep theaters open if you've got Regal who's saying we're just shutting the door on all of these theaters. We can't keep them open. Now, again, this isn't something that's happening right now, but damn it, when was the last time you saw a Blockbuster? That's my only point, because right now the at-home Wakanda. Experience, the ability to sit at the house and chill. Televisions are getting cheaper and bigger. Sound systems are getting better. And people in general do not like people enough for us to all be in a theater. Main thing I dislike is people being next
yes.
to me. Oh, wait, what did Shuri mean? When she, yeah. the fuck, shut up. Just watch the damn movie, dude.
People getting up, walking back and forth, getting in your way. If I could watch everything at home, I would. I'd pay more for it, actually.
I will tell you this. I'm trying to even remember what the movie was, but the most obnoxious group of teenagers were, it was Smile. They were cutting up, getting up, walking back and forth. Then it was like, okay, this is trailers. Nobody really cares. But the movie actually started, and these kids got up, and I was in my favorite row because I typically sit in the wheelchair accessible companion chair because I can really stretch my legs out. These kids got up one too many times, and I stood up in the theater and I said, "Sit down!" And the audience started laughing, and the little kid, like, he was walking in front of me and he like dropped like this. It kind of crawled out of the space. And then somebody called the theater security, and theater security walks in. They walked over. These kids were turned around in their seats, talking to the row behind them. They were cutting up.
Dude,
that's horrible.
They finally sent them all out.
Good.
Nope.
Good.
No, I couldn't do it. At that point, I can't even get into the movie anymore. My whole experience has been ruined at that point. I'm done. Oh, I want my money back. I'm leaving so I can go home, maybe refocus my mind and go. For me alone, that was it. The only thing I really disliked about Wakanda Forever is the people in the theater who, for some reason or another, had no idea what the fuck they were watching because they're asking questions. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? What are you asking?
I didn't have that experience with Wakanda. My audience was very, very respectful. And so I was able to fully enjoy that. And I loved seeing it on the huge screen.
I think I'm going to see that one more time.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. I still enjoy seeing these movies on a scale. Even Way of Water, which was way, way too long of water.
I still enjoyed
the scale of seeing it on that IMAX laser, pristine quality, beautiful sound.
Never saw the first one.
I can still appreciate it.
And frankly, there are some shows like if you could tell me. And I wonder how, I'd love to hear what Ryan has to say about this. If you could tell me I could watch The Last of Us, or I could watch The Last of Us and Rings of Power
on a big screen,
if you told me that my favorite action shows, like even The Gray Man was a good action movie. If you told me I could go and I could see Game of Thrones before it turned to crap, if you told me I could go and see some of those things on a big screen, then I'd be down.
But see, the problem with that is the money and the economics change because you're sharing those profits with movie theaters. And I don't know if Game of Thrones or The Rings are profitable in a theater sense when you're sharing those revenues. And I don't know if you still make The Gray Man if you're depending on theaters after a certain point.
But you know what? Theaters aren't making their money off the prints anyway. Theaters are making their money off if you buy in $12 popcorn.
Right, but you still have to share that. You're licensing the use of that film. I don't know if it's economically feasible.
I wonder if, as paradigms change and companies realize that they need to figure it out, the same companies that made the decision to stream something a month after it left theaters, when you know how it used to be, Mo, when we were in school, when we were kids.
It took a year
to get to Suncoast. You couldn't even buy it at home to pay $100.
You were lucky you captured on a plane 6 months later.
Exactly. Yeah. And you caught it on a plane. It was this big in a square.
Yep.
So the same economic changes that are driving people to, you know, look, let's get it out on video. Let's get it out on streaming. They can figure it out. And AMC, like I put it in the chat, soon all theaters are going to be Taco Bell because it ain't no reason to keep the competition up. AMC is gobbling everything.
We are going to like a situation where everyone like wants to watch shit at home. People don't like people. I would rather watch everything at home. If you ask me if I could watch The Last of Us on the big screen, I'd pay money to actually play The Last of Us on the big screen in the theater, not fucking go see it. Okay. I don't like people. I want to be at home and watch TV and be left the fuck alone.
See, I agree with Ray Walker. Elvis was amazing on screen. But I think they tried this, though. Remember they did this with, that horrible show on ABC. They did the first... The Inhumans.
Oh,
right,
Jesus
and they
Christ.
Do this with the Inhumans,
work. No,
they tried to have the debut.
Right, they wanted the debut on TV.
And it was just a bad show.
I think they showed the first two episodes in theater. They showed the first two episodes in theater.
It was trash,
almost beyond trash. Calling it trash is an insult to trash.
Well, now see to that whole point though, and to where you're going with it, Tom. We did talk to Fawn Davis on Later with Mo Kelly yesterday, and he was theorizing something similar to what you're saying, that if they were to take like something like The Mandalorian that looks amazing on television, and then you put that on the big screen, something like that may get people into theater, say like, yo, I definitely would watch some of those episodes on the big screen. If they did an edit and they turned it into
a movie length or something,
a movie length, and cut out some of the superfluous information,
Falcon,
that might work.
And The Winter Soldier, especially that first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that was movie quality.
I'll tell you what would get me to the big screen if I had a choice. The first time I saw Doctor Strange, I believe I saw it with Mo and Twala, Stan Lee was there. You have fucking like the actor showing up or the director. I'd probably go. But you have fucking Stan Lee there? Shit. I'd be there. Yeah.
You wouldn't go now though with Stan Lee there.
I mean,
well, if they brought out Stan Lee, that might have been an experience.
Tom, no. No, Tom.
Weekend at Bernie's version. No. That would be a reboot with Stan Lee.
Tom, don't you do it. Don't you do it, Tom. That's not that.
Boo
no,
this man!
Right.
Boo!
No, that's not right. That's not right.
But I think there is a good point with I think you could do this with some shows. And I think what makes me really unfortunate is that they don't know which one. They're really not doing a good idea of pacing to figure out which show should go to movies and which show should not go to streaming. Because there's some that are gone straight to movies, like I Feel Like Playing, that should have went straight to streaming. But then there's some that went straight to streaming that it was like, you know, this could have made it in the movies.
Theaters need to start doing things that you can't get at home. Like, hey, you should go to the movie theater. So-and-so might show up. I'm like, really? I might check it out then.
They do need to adopt almost the Alamo Draft House model, movie chain wide, where it is less about the movie you're going to watch and more to your point about the experience. If it's a total encompassing experience, like if I'm going out and I know I'm going to get something more than just popcorn and a soda, bruh, like seriously.
So are you talking about like a Rocky Horror Picture Show sort of thing? Are you talking about a Mystery Science Theater 3000 sort of thing? Are you talking about the nerds of the round table sitting in the first row facing the audience and talking shit while we watch a movie kind of thing? Because these are the sorts of experiences that I agree. When you get, can you imagine showing a movie to a Comic-Con audience that was built for a Comic-Con audience? The problem isn't people. The problem is the type of people that you want to see it with.
Look.
And you don't control that when you're in a movie theater. But if I could see a movie, a Marvel movie with fans, I don't care missing 2 seconds of dialogue if we're literally all screaming at the screen because something that's was true. So incredible.
Like, hey, that's a great point.
Look, the only thing that would get that's me from watching a movie or a TV show from home is if Nicole Kidman showed up. Then I'd be like, okay, God, I need to get the fuck up out of here. I need to go to the theater.
No, I can't do Nicole Kidman.
If she showed up on the while I was at
anybody
home.
Anybody but Nicole Kidman.
If she showed up at
home. If she shows up in that tiny pantsuit,
I am so over it.
That's what I'm saying. If they started showing her at home, I would stop watching the shows at home. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
no, look, I would feel it if theater chains could do that.
That's what made Avengers Endgame so good, because that first showing at that first day, all of us were all like, you know, so into it.
Exactly.
That would be fly.
Change the Cole Kim, that's the best.
That's funny. That's funny.
Need to change it to something.
See, you're funny for that. Before we get into the Last of Us length on this episode, what are y'all watching that we may not be aware of? What you watching, Liz? What's happening on Apple TV?
That's
the only channel she got.
Popping on Apple.
No,
I rely on you because I don't have it.
You should. You should get Apple TV because Truth Be Told is back. And I am so excited. I know love... it left. This is the third season. It is the third season, and it is such a good show. Such
Truth
a good
Be
show.
Told.
Highly recommend.
What is Truth Be Told?
Truth Be Told. It is. It's really
Octavia Spencer's thing.
Octavia Spencer. She's Octavia Spencer is a journalist who in season one, season two, season three, she's returned back home in Oakland, and so it's all of these. There's different storylines, and she's like a podcaster. She turns into this podcast, right, and she's trying to solve mysteries. And so it's turned into three different types of mysteries that span over the course of the season, and it, including her own personal life, that somehow gets tied into these. It's really a good show. It's a really, really, really good show that I'm not. It's one of their, I think it's one of their more popular ones because Apple TV doesn't keep things around for very long. Mm.
Okay. What you watch, Tom?
I've been binging spy thrillers. Spy thrillers on streaming services. So,
is that a show or just...
No. I'm getting into the spy thriller. Oh, okay. So Jack Ryan, I watched The Recruit, all the episodes of The Recruit. I watched Treason, which was a British intrigue show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so all of those sorts of things. I really, really enjoyed Jack Ryan. Mm. It was perhaps eerily too close to what's going on in the Ukraine right now with Russian aggression. The Recruit was a surprise. It's the kid who plays Adam Smasher in
Centennial.
He is a wise, cracking, young, improbably smart, improbably capable CIA analyst sort of kid who gets caught up in some stuff. It ends on a huge cliffhanger. It was like, wait, what now? And then Treason, which stars Daredevil,
Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox. I was trying to say Daniel Cox, and I knew it was wrong. But yeah,
Matt Murdock. So, I really was.
Go to hell, Ryan. Treason is full of things that would strike people as crazy plot holes, but It's another show that features two people from the MCU. Olga Kurienko, who played the taskmaster that Ryan hates.
Yes, I do.
Is the female lead, and Charlie Cox is the male lead, and they also have I want to say that there's somebody else from the MCU who's in it. But
Danny Rand? Think
that's actually true. No, definitely not. Those are the things that I was watching. I love those sorts of things. I love political intrigue and spycraft and stuff like that. So,
Word up. What about you, McBang?
Just The Last of Us, and I'm going to try and start Jack Ryan, because I love Jack Ryan. The first two seasons were banging, and I know
third
I'm going to like this.
Season is equally banging. Yeah. It's very good.
All right. Mo Kelly.
Tulsa King is the shit.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Sylvester Stallone. It is the shit.
So good.
Really?
It really is. Wow. Michael Beach is in it. He plays an understated role. It is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It continues my respect of Sylvester Stallone as an actual actor.
Mm-hmm.
Michael
That's high praise.
In the Octavia Spencer show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It really is.
All right. I'm going to have to read down.
Because it's witty. It's witty.
It really is.
It's cutthroat.
A lot of humor. A lot of violence. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show.
All right.
Kind of like Get Shorty kind of sort of?
Well, here's the premise.
It's fish out of water.
Kind of. Sylvester Stallone, he's been in jail for 25 years. He kept his mouth shut. He gets out of jail, prison, and they send him to Tulsa to start the mob's business in Tulsa. He doesn't want to go. He goes. He not only realizes that he's really out of touch with society, but he has to figure out the South, the Midwest, you know, just that area of the country. And it's just funny. It's really funny, but it's a mob series.
So it's like Fargo, the series, slash Get Shorty, slash
you can say Stallone. There are elements of that, but you get to see
it's a different Sylvester show. Stallone. It's not that show. But
yeah, but Sylvester Stallone, you get to see in a very different light. He is the star. He is driving the storyline at every turn. Okay. And it's just a different side of Stallone, where he's embracing being 75, 76 years old, and that's actually part of the storyline. You know, they basically tell him, like, fucker, you're old. Why am I here with you? Pretty much.
Damn.
And it's done so well that the second season is already greenlit, and the way that they ended it, I was like, when is the second season coming?
Right.
Which service is this?
Paramount.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
All right, look, I'll
I'll say, watch the first episode. He's one of those things where you get a really good feel for it after the first episode.
So you have to like. I am liking Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus.
Okay, that's next for me.
I'm enjoying. He's horrible in Inhumans, but he's really great.
He didn't do anything in Inhumans. Pike. He didn't say anything. Okay. Yeah, Wanda made sure of that. Yeah.
All right. Look, it has been a Stone Groove.
What are you watching?
Should be on a Saturday night. Me, I'm about to go and watch it. I'm waiting for now the next episode of My Hero Academia. Like, that is my weekly fix. And I'm gonna catch up with The Bad Batch because I didn't get to watch it on Wednesday. So for me, it's gonna be anime all night. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna get into the new Trigun. A new One Piece drops tonight, so I'm about to have an anime festival with my son. Last of Us
drops tonight, or is it already out?
Who?
Well, tomorrow at 6.
Last of Us Sunday, yeah.
Oh, it doesn't drop at midnight?
No. Yeah, HBO never drops their stuff at midnight. They always drop their stuff at a time on a Sunday. Yeah, by the way, in the chat, The Offer is good. If you like The Godfather, then you'll like The Offer. And Godfather of Harlem is really good. That started that.
Yeah, Godfather of Harlem is good.
All right.
And the Whitney Houston movie didn't do that great.
No, it failed.
It was a good movie, though. But
it's something that should have been at home. Didn't need to be in theaters.
I didn't think she was pretty enough to be Whitney Houston.
No, I didn't think so either. She didn't look like Whitney.
She doesn't look like Whitney. Whitney Houston was a beautiful woman with a remarkable, incredibly beautiful voice. It was the combination of the things that made her the superstar that she was. And I just didn't find her credible as that beautiful.
That's true.
As the beautiful star that Whitney Houston was.
No. And again, what you're saying is this is yet another thing that should have been at home.
I'm sorry. They weren't going to make it at home though, because the family wanted an in-person theater thing. And they were trying, and they are trying to milk every corner of dimes and nickels. You know what they're doing to her now? They're making a Whitney Houston hotel. No, they're having a Whitney Houston hotel that is going to be debuting at the W out here during Grammy weekend.
Okay, get your rim shots ready. Is there
don't say it.
Hey.
Get the Heartbreak Hotel.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
And they're having special events for 3 days over the whole Grammy week. And I'm this is such a bad idea.
We're good. We're done. Dr. Liz, since Anthony is not here, ladies first. Dr. Liz, go to take us out. Dr. Liz, go to take us out.
No, you cannot, Carmichael. No, you cannot.
Liz, no, Liz, we are out. That's a no. This is a no. Dr. Liz, take us out, please.
Good night, everyone.
Nick Bane.
It's a damn shame what they did to that dog.
Mo Kelly.
Multipass.
Tom.
Where is my fungus suit?
Yeah, man. Excelsior.